Hi, this is Spiro with NewsBud. Today we're going to talk about a topic that has been long regarded as conspiracy theory. This is geoengineering, solar radiation management, more commonly known as chemtrails. Now, geoengineering is the artificial modification of the Earth's climate systems through two primary ideologies, solar radiation management and carbon dioxide removal. Now, solar radiation management is a method of controlling the sunlight before it reaches the planet. And we can commonly see this through atmospheric aerosol injection. In other words, aircraft spraying aerosols into the atmosphere. Now, joining us today to talk about this topic is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. James, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, recently you had covered this topic on your site, and I wanted to expand upon the subject and get your take on geoengineering. James, where do you stand on this chemtrail business? Is this strictly tinfoil hat material, or is there something else taking place here?
Well, we know documentably and on the record that since the creation of the cloud seeding, the commercial cloud seeding industry, there has been work towards weather manipulation and climate control that's been going on in public venues like GE Labs, but of course also in military research programs. And we do know about the weather manipulation that was attempted in various times, for example, in the Vietnam War, attempting to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So we know that this has been certainly researched and has been at least attempted to be used in various contexts before. And we know that it continues to come up as a topic of interest and conversation on the national and international level. And in fact, the idea of controlling the weather or manipulating the weather is, again, identifiably and documentably on the record in various U.S. government research programs and special advisory committees to the president going back to the late 1950s and into the 1960s. There was a lot of work going on it at that time. That work did not stop, but it certainly has taken on various different venues, including some not necessarily obvious venues in recent years, including the establishment of a Center for Climatic Research at the CIA, of all places, where it started in 2009. So there are obvious security interests at play here, and it would be naive to think that the latest cutting-edge technology is not being used at least to attempt to manipulate weather, and there is certainly room for debate over how successful this is or whether or not this is successful at all, but I think it's quite documentably very much something that is a research interest and is happening to some extent right now.
Well, I'd have to agree with you on that, James. I was myself in the aerospace industry for 11 years, and it's been a topic that I've followed for some time. I myself have observed two different types of emissions that have been emitted from aircraft, one being the contrail or condensation trail that would disperse rather quickly, the other one being what's referred to as the chemtrail, the one that lingers around for hours and eventually kind of turns into this haze that covers the skies. Now, they're in Japan. I know you're in Japan. I'm on the west coast of the U.S. Do you see these type of contrails or chemtrails in your skies there?
I have certainly witnessed a perfectly sunny, beautiful blue sky being literally painted over by a passing aircraft over the course of a few hours, turning the blue skies into completely gray and murky skies. I have watched that happen with my own eyes, yes.
Well, yes, it is a program that's seems to be taking place around the world, definitely. And we've seen this topic, as you stated, pop up all over the place, everywhere from government white papers to research papers, congressional committees. We've even seen JFK touch on this subject back in 1961 when he addressed the UN General Assembly.
We shall propose further cooperative efforts between all the nations in weather prediction and eventually in weather control.
More recently, we have seen CIA Chief John Brennan talk about this, talk about geoengineering with the Council on Foreign Relations.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI. A method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do.
So if this topic is being discussed within the highest levels of government, why is this still being regarded as conspiracy theory?
It, like so many other government programs of security interest and things that are interesting to the military establishment and the intelligence establishment, it certainly serves those security interests more to be able to poo-poo this type of talk. Oh, well, of course no one would do this, because then obviously they can deny that it is happening. But there was an interesting event, speaking of the director of the CIA talking about geoengineering at the CFR, there was an interesting event last year where a climate scientist named Alan Robock wrote an editorial in The Guardian where he admitted that in 2011, two people working for the CIA, consultants for the CIA with a group called Logistics Management Institute, got in touch with him specifically trying to find out, quote, if another country were trying to control our climate, would we be able to detect it? Which is an interesting enough question in and of itself, because, of course, that seems to be an admission that they certainly think it is feasible that that is happening, whether or not that is actually happening, but they certainly think it is feasible. But also, as Alan Robock warns in that op-ed piece that is, again, it's up on The Guardian, quite mainstream publication, he suspects that they're not really that concerned about whether they can detect another country doing it to the United States. Probably the real question is, can another country detect whether the United States is doing it to them? And that's the way in which he reads this. And he does ring the alarm bell about the CIA creating their Center on Climate Change and National Security and talking about geoengineering in Congress, for example, in 2012, when they had to disclose some of their interest in this subject. And it continues to spill out. And now John Brennan is openly talking about it. So I think, again, this is one of those types of topics that they want to try to cover up under cover of national security. And if that doesn't work, then to invoke the dreaded conspiracy theory word, which, of course, I'm sure your viewers will know by now, was a coinage of the CIA in response to criticisms about the Warren Commission going back into the 1960s. That was where that term, conspiracy theory, was seeded into the general lexicon and made into this weapon that is used and directed against any subject that the authorities don't want people talking about. And I think that's exactly the way that we can read what's happened to researchers who are exploring this subject going on right to today.
Well, that's a great point, James. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, it's definitely a form of psychological warfare that is being put out there. Now, what's interesting to me is recently we have seen with the implementation, the rollout of the 2030 agenda, and the first time ever for international climate laws being implemented through the Paris climate talks there. So we have this talk of solar radiation management, geoengineering, manipulating the weather, even weather warfare, but then we see these same groups and institutions and governments lobbying and pushing for this type of global international law when they themselves play a heavy hand in manipulating or controlling the weather, per se. So how does that play in here? I mean, where do we fit in there now? Are we to trust the UN and their international laws and global climate tax when they themselves can manipulate the weather?
I would hope that observant viewers would not need to be told that we have to question the motives of the people who claim to be saviors of humanity. We've seen this time and time again, public scares being whipped up in order to basically provide solutions that that were always intended in the first place and that generally serve to benefit oligarchical interests, corporate interests, or interests that are tied in with the government and security centers. I mean, as an example, the reefer madness scare that caused the criminalization and prohibition of marijuana, which of course served the interests of those who would have had to have competed with hemp and all of its various uses, can suddenly criminalize it because of the public hysteria. It had nothing to do with protecting the public health or safety, as we now know, and as we are starting to reverse those decisions that were made all that time ago. Similarly, I think we have to, at least, even if we were to accept the climate science as settled, we would have to at least interrogate the motives of the people who are claiming to save us from this supposed threat to humanity. And I think the lie is given, perhaps most startlingly, in an article that was published in the Journal of Environmental Health just earlier this year from two researchers at the University of Michigan assessing the direct occupational and public health impacts of solar radiation management with stratospheric aerosols, where they are addressing exactly the types of geoengineering proposals. And again, we can talk about what is actually going on, but we do know that these proposals are becoming more and more frequent and are being talked about openly in Senate committees and other congressional investigations. How can we best manage, can we implement geoengineering in order to help us in this climate catastrophe? These types of hearings have been going on for years now, openly with scientists like David Keith and others that are promoting this geoengineering technology. But this article in the Journal of Environmental Health, it rings the alarm bell to say no one is really talking about the issue of potential public health impact of spraying aluminum oxide or barium titrate or some of these other substances that have been proposed, again, by these geoengineers to spray into the atmosphere. No one is talking about the potential public health impacts of these things. So their conclusion is we don't have enough data to really say what the potential public health impact is, because there's been really no study on this in any form. And that should be worrying to people, that we are thinking about, if not actively engaged in, toying with the climate itself and spraying vast sections of the globe without even so much as stopping to think about potential public health impacts. Now, I think, again, like the geoengineering, which is presumably already proceeding in various guises, I think there probably have been public health impact studies and those types of research that has been going on under the covers, under the guise of national security, in the black budget operations that go on at the higher levels. But at any rate, that discourse isn't reaching down to the public level. And when these geoengineers are going before the Senate and arguing for the wonderful effects that geoengineering could have in preventing climate catastrophe, again, they are not addressing the giant elephant in the room. Hey, is it a good idea to spray aluminum oxide and these other chemical compounds on vast sections of the globe? So that alone exposes the fact that fundamentally they are not concerned about humanity. That cannot be the key factor here, because they're not even considering the human health impact of operations like this.
Well, that's absolutely right. I think you nailed it on the head there, James. And if this program, whether it exists or not, was such a great thing, then what do they have to hide? Why wouldn't they come out and be completely transparent with all of these issues? Now, myself, I've always loved the sky, the stars, everything like that, always admiring. And the skies now, even the clouds now, are not what they were when I was young, when I was a kid. So this, in my opinion, has been taking place for some time now. And like you said, the elephant in the room is not being addressed. What are the immediate health impacts and long-term health impacts of these operations? And this is a huge topic, one that I'm sure we'll both be covering more in the future. Again, James, I want to thank you for joining me over here, and we'll leave a link to your site, Corbett Report, corbettreport.com. And it's always a pleasure, James. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.